Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, here's GMAC, Greg McKinney, KB, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo.
The glamour of the fans equals the glamour of the event.
Welcome to another hour of The Huddle.
This is ESPN Upstate.
Back in the huddle, ESPN Upstate, GMAC, KB, Lonzo, Bobby Petrino coming up, Vin Scully coming up, and also your chance to win race tickets coming up here on ESPN Upstate, all in this hour. And South Carolina lost to Texas A&M 24-13 on Saturday. We told you that Rico Dowdle had 47 yards on 9 carries.
Yeah.
Watch this guy, because I think he just blows right past David Williams and becomes your new running back with A.J. Turner.
Tommy and your boy were loving him. Todd and Tommy were loving him.
Did you know he was from Gaffney?
Rico Dowdle?
Yeah, he played high school at A.C. Reynolds. He moved to Asheville. But
oh, no wonder.
But he's a Gaffney guy.
Well, of course.
Gaffney kid.
Well, now that explains it. Listen, I'm not down on Western North Carolina football, but it ain't upstate South Carolina. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not by a long stretch. And can a great running back come out of there? Obviously. Choo-choo Justice. He's out of Asheville, right? But Charlie Choo-choo Justice, yeah. University of North Carolina, you know. Yeah, he was the real deal.
I know him.
But that was quite a while ago. That was a long tooth ago, G-Mac. And this kid, Dowdle, he's from Gaffney. That, to me, that just kind of explains it.
He didn't get a lot of offers from the SEC. He had a Vanderbilt offer, mm-hmm. along with the South Carolina offer. He had Boston College and Wake Forest after mm-hmm. him, mm-hmm. but, you know, not the bigger schools in the ACC. Mm-hmm. He was kind of surprised by that. He finished his final season with more than 4,000 yards of total offense. 4,000 yards of total offense for this kid.
Getting it done.
63 touchdowns. In 13 games.
Mm. Wow. What?
Yeah.
In one season? 63
touchdowns in 13 games.
This running back.
Yeah. Rico Dowdle.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. Give it to him every time. He mm-hmm. scores every time.
Well, they need
Some guys don't get 63 carries.
This dude may be the next big running back at South Carolina, really. Well, he has that potential.
We'll see. They were certainly loving him.
And you ask about his size, he's 5'11", 208.
I love it.
So he's stout.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not a big, tall running back, but he's stout. So just keep an eye on him now that he's gotten his first little shot Saturday against Texas A&M. You may see him playing a lot. Yeah, he had 63 touchdowns as a senior. Mm-hmm. He was a Shrine Bowl.
Gracious.
Only a 3-star prospect. So he was kind of overlooked, and South Carolina picked him up.
Yeah, I guess they wanted him to have 73, and then he'd have been a 4-star.
Needed a few more stars.
Yeah, needed a few more touchdowns.
No touchdowns to get
63 in
stars.
1 year, I'm sorry, son.
Yeah, something else.
Good gracious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like Shuler Bentley at Burns passed for 71 touchdowns.
Yeah.
His senior year, you know, he went to Old Dominion. So some of these guys rack it up, and yet they don't get the attention from the big schools. That's the way it works.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones at 844-477-3776. Chip calling in next. Hey, Chip, welcome in.
Afternoon, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Well. What's up?
Hey, guys, just calling in. Local golf pro here in the upstate calling to get y'all's opinions maybe on the Ryder Cup. If you hadn't talked about it at all yet.
We did a little bit. It was I didn't get to watch as much as I wanted to, but what I saw was great. I mean, I love the showmanship in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, specifically after I was calling to see, you know, yesterday the patriotism and you're just the fire in the belly of Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy. Just wondering from maybe, you know, some non golf fans or non avid golf fans, you know, is that something that we want to see more of, or would people rather see that go away? What do y'all think?
I like it. Oh, I don't have any problem with it. That would bring golf to the forefront. Because golf is boring to a lot of people, right?
Man.
Some people.
Agreed, absolutely.
And what do you think as a golf pro? Would that bother you?
No, I think I come from a club here in Spartanburg where, you know, that's kind of our motto. You know, get out there, have fun, listen to some music, you know, spice the game up a little bit. I like, you know, Patrick Reed shoving the finger in Rory's face. You know, I'm a huge Rory fan. You know, I like that. You know, it makes it seem like a sport more than, you know, maybe an old man's game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. It would be a way to get some young people into the game, wouldn't it?
No doubt about it. You know, that team effort, you know, having the team around you and doing that kind of stuff, you know, it makes it interesting and, you know, not so boring. So
what do you think about what do you think about the crowd getting involved and kind of heckling and that kind of thing? Does that bother you?
Oh, you know, not so much. I think that, you know, as long as they're hush, you know, during the shot, you know, if the guys can't take it on the chin a little bit, you know, on the road, as you would say, to use a football term, you know, in a hostile environment, you know, then you shouldn't be playing the game. But, you know, Rory said it best in his press conference yesterday after it was all over. You got people out there at 7:30 a.m. for the first matches, and, you know, they're not done until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they got adult beverages in their hand at 7:30. You're gonna have some of that no matter where you are.
That's true. It was great stuff. I loved it. Appreciate the call, Chip. Call back anytime. You can let us know what you think about the upcoming golf tournaments as we're done with the majors and now with the Ryder Cup for this year. So we're kind of looking ahead to 2017 now.
I would like to restate my opinion. I couldn't agree more with both you guys. I thought the energy at that golf tournament, it always is because it's so hyper-competitive and it's such a level of patriotism, you know what I'm saying, especially from us in America because we ain't been doing too well at this thing. You know, over the last 8 to 12 years or whatever it's been that Europe's dominated us. Mm-hmm. So to pull that out and to have the crowd so into it and the players themselves coming outside of their normal golfing stayed, STAID, I think is the correct, you know the thing that golf itself does to the game, you know, it all inhibitions seem to be, you know, just let go and released, and is way more energy at those terms, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I'm just going to reiterate what I said earlier. I think we need one tournament like that.
Why not? Let them do it? Wrong with it? Why does golf have to be so reserved?
It's golf.
Yeah.
It's just golf.
Because it always has
right,
been.
Right, right. Exactly.
But,
yep.
You know, without the superstars, without Tiger Woods in the mix anymore, you need some energy in the game. Oh, that would do it.
It's just fantastic. If you do not like golf and somebody's trying to win you over, I'd start them on the Davis Cup. Now, they're going to go way downhill from that.
You mean the Ryder Cup?
I mean the Ryder Cup. I beg your pardon. But, yeah, once, you know what I'm saying, then they might think, oh, it's not too bad. Then you zoom to Augusta or something and everybody's quiet again.
I got that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy the majors. I can watch that without all the stuff.
But it's just a different animal, man. It's good stuff.
It was really good stuff. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. Bobby Petrino, after the Louisville Cardinals lost by 6, 42-36 to the Clemson Tigers on Saturday night at Death Valley, in his post-game press conference, he was asked about his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, being particularly upset with a Ben Boulware tackle in the first half of that game. Here are the comments of the Louisville coach on that.
Yeah, I guess you need to watch the video and see, and you can see what was happening out there. Probably don't want me to say, but you need to watch the video and see how the game was went about in the first half.
What were the halftime adjustments? What did you say, and what did your team respond?
We wanted to come out and really continue to work hard at running the ball. We wanted to get some time so that we could throw it. I thought Lamar did a great job in the second half, seeing pressure, distributing the ball. We got our tight ends involved. We got our running backs involved. We made some great runs. Our offensive line did a better job of protection in the second half. And, you know, we did a great job moving the ball and getting it in the end zone.
So there's Petrino. He didn't exactly say, no, there was no problem with that tackle, did he? Yes. Didn't exactly say, I'm okay with what Boulware did there.
No.
Said, watch the film, basically.
Yep.
Clemson moved up 2 spots to number 3 in the AP poll. The other interesting thing about the AP poll this week is you now have 6 ACC teams ranked.
Yeah.
So they have matched the Southeastern Conference. I don't know when the last time that has occurred, that the SEC and the ACC had the same number of teams in the top 25 in the AP poll. Alabama's number 1, of course. Louisville fell to number 7. Michigan remained number 4, and Washington moved up to number 5. But you also got Miami moving up 4 spots. So they had 3 teams in the top 10. You still have Florida State in there. You got North Carolina. So you've got 6. Virginia Tech made it in, too, for the first time. Virginia Tech
They're much better. They got a quarterback now.
Number 25, and they're in the poll for the first time since September 7th of 2014. So that's how long it's been since Virginia Tech got in. Michigan State fell out of the rankings. They've lost consecutive games for the first time since 2012. They're unranked for the first time since October of 2013. TCU is out. They lost to Oklahoma. Texas is out. Georgia also out with that loss to Tennessee. And Florida State falls down to number 23 after their loss to North Carolina. So Florida State barely hanging on in the AP Top 25. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Rocky Top next. What's up, Rocky Top?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing today?
We're doing well, man.
Doing good. Right quick before I get to the Tennessee game, and please forgive me, I just now got home here listening to you guys, so I may go over some things I already talked about. But I want to talk about the Clemson game first. Man, I'm just going to be real. I think Death Valley has become the hardest place to go win at. It is. I think it is the toughest place for an opponent to come in and play. I think it's become so intimidating. I think it's just, I don't know. But I do have to say also to KB, I got to hit you again, man.
All right, what you got?
I got love for you. But Friday you said, man, I just don't see how. I'm going to be honest. I don't see how Clemson can beat Louisville. And do you believe Clemson can win it?
Yeah, it was a one possession game, and that kid gets there, they lose that game. And listen, they did what they had to do. I thought it was going to be classic Venables with that defense coming out with a game plan, and they did. And then you saw the adjustments at halftime, and Clemson was lucky to hold on. Yeah, I credit them, and that was the way they got it done. Listen, I told you, I didn't think Louisville was that much better than Clemson. Clemson is a very good football team. I said that, right? And I just said I thought it was going to be a very good game, but if either team got boat raced, I thought it would be Louisville doing that to Clemson. If you look at each half, you know, they boat raced Clemson more than Clemson boat raced them in the first half. But, I mean, it was a great game.
See, that's why I disagree, because I'm on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And I think Clemson boat raced them second quarter. If they don't throw that interception, if Ray Ray don't let that ball go off his hands, if Deshaun's not a little sloppy, if Jordan Leggett don't fumble, they boat raced him in that game.
Hey, let me ask both of you guys a question. If this was in Louisville, what's the result?
Is it the same result? I don't think so.
Number one, Louisville, here's what I think, and see if you guys agree. To me, that game felt like the Bama-Clemson game last year, whereas Louisville was Clemson. They were the up-and-comer. They had the young, hip quarterback.
Right.
And Clemson is the old Bama. They're the, you know, the veteran with the solid defense and the solid team and the coach that's been there. And I think that had a factor in the game. I do. I think when it got down to it, Clemson has been there. Although they are young on defense, they've been there. And I think that had a lot to do with it. But I think if they played at a neutral site, I do think the better team won. I mean, right. I do. I'm not going to discredit everything Clemson was. I think they are who we thought they were going to be. At the beginning of the year, everybody thought Deshaun Watson was the best quarterback. I still think he is. I think Jackson is the better athlete. At the end of the year, everybody said Clemson's going to be in the playoff. I think they are. I just think being the hunted now is a lot more different than it is when you're trying to prove yourself. Now it makes everyone's season to beat Clemson. So I think that, you know, I think the better team won. I think Clemson left a lot of points on the field. Louisville can't say that. I think Louisville made the most out of their possessions.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you on some things, but I think Clemson's a heck of a team, but again, on a neutral field or at Louisville, I'm not so sure Clemson gets it done. I mean, you know, you saw in the second half, Lamar Jackson had his way with Clemson's defense. You can call it tired, and they were tired. You know what I'm saying? But you got to finish games, and to their credit, they did. But, you know, that game easily could have gone to Louisville. You know, you can't say they didn't leave points on the board either. They turned the ball over, too. You know, so, I mean, listen, I could see Clemson could have been up three or four scores at halftime instead of what they were, and they were up 2.5 scores. I understand that, too. But they showed no ability to stop that offense whatsoever in the second half. And for, you know, one play, it's, I mean, it was a great football game. Clemson is very, very good. I still don't think, you know, when it comes down to it, down the line somewhere near the end of the year, I'd still put my money on Louisville again. You put your money on Clemson, we'll talk again. How about that?
I just don't think you're going to have your opportunity to put it on Louisville. Maybe. I think I will.
Maybe not.
I just don't see it happening.
We'll see.
The way it is.
No, I agree with that. I don't think they're both going.
But I'll be honest with you. One more thing, and I'll get off here. And the thing about Clemson's success attracts haters. And like I said, I'm a Volunteer fan. I really hadn't talked about it because we got lucky. But Georgia should have won that game. But I feel like for the Clemson haters, it's becoming more, you're beginning to see people. We were the darlings, or they were the darlings of, you know, college football. And now sort of they're getting criticized, I guess, for underachieving or whatever. But it's like all the people that want, especially like a lot of Gamecock fans that I know was really, or the haters of Clemson were really hoping Louisville could beat them. And now that Louisville hasn't, they just want to admit it and say, you know what, Clemson is what we thought they were. They're just sort of saying Louisville set out of bounds. But I do. I think Clemson's an elite team. I think they're just as good as anybody. And I think they're going to win national championship.
All right, let me ask you.
I don't think Tennessee will make it.
Let me ask you one more question real quickly. Do you think Louisville is an elite team?
I do.
Okay.
Clemson, if they played 10 times, yep, Clemson would win 6.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. That's not a horrible take on it, I don't think. I think it's the other way around. But anyway.
Thank you, Rocky Top. Got to go up against the break. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. We have your chance to win some racing tickets for Charlotte coming up this weekend. That's next. Stay with us. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
From cheap shots to slap shots, this is The Huddle with Greg McKinney, KB, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM. This is ESPN Upstate.
News out of Charlotte, the Carolina Panthers are not clear at this point whether Cam Newton will be able to play next Monday night, a week from tonight, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's in the concussion protocol. He suffered the concussion when he took a legal helmet-to-helmet hit from Deion Jones, Falcons linebacker, during a two-point conversion run in the loss to Atlanta yesterday, 48-33. It's typical that players are not cleared from the concussion protocol for 6 to 7 days because of the amount of testing they have to go through. They have an extra day because they play Monday night, so that could give him a chance to play. Luke Kuechly, you remember, missed 3 games with a concussion last year in concussion protocol. If Cam can't play, then Derek Anderson will start. Derek Anderson was 2-0 against the Buccaneers in 2014 when Newton missed a couple of starts. Ron Rivera said he has no idea about preparations for Tampa Bay as far as anything special that will go on. He says he will prepare for the game and will be ready for Newton not to be able to play in that ballgame. Cam did meet with doctors this morning. He was at Bank of America Stadium this afternoon. At the time of his news conference, Ron Rivera had not spoken to Cam. Rivera would not speculate on whether Newton could have avoided the hit. Jones said it appeared that Newton let up as he approached the goal line, so he tried to make a play. And that's the way I saw it. Did look like Cam was letting up. And
absolutely,
he was stuck right on the goal line. And now he's in the concussion protocol. So that's the latest on that situation. All right, let's get to today's NASCAR report here in the Huddle.
I never see so many rednecks in one place.
NASCAR, not even close.
Here's what happened at the track. Here's your NASCAR recap on ESPN Upstate.
Well, Martin Truex Jr. is the guy right now. He is red hot. He met with Yankees manager Joe Girardi 5 days before Sunday's race at Dover. Mm-hmm. They talked about charities. They talked about living out their dreams in the sports they love. Martin Truex Jr. is not a Yankees fan. He's more of a Philadelphia sports guy. But he says he respects people who live their passion and are successful. So he wanted to meet with Girardi, and he did. And Truex probably made a few more fans after the Citizen Soldier 400. He has performed at the level that brings back memories of the Yankees in the 90s, a dynasty era where every time they stepped on the field, their opponents knew you'd have to be at your best for a chance to win. Truex left Dover having won his fourth race in the past 17 Sprint Cup events. He did it convincingly. He led 187 out of 400 laps. Margin of victory of about 7.5 seconds over Kyle Busch, who was in second place. He's the leader in laps this season. He has paced the field for 19.1% of all laps in Sprint Cup this year. That's amazing. His Furniture Row team made a switch to Chevrolet from Chevrolet to Toyota in the offseason, but he's still making a statement. He was a finalist in 2015. Now he is the favorite for 2016. So congratulations to Martin Truex Jr. Got a big race coming up this weekend in Charlotte. How you guys want to give away these tickets?
You gonna make somebody
work? You got something for me? Because I don't have anything.
You don't have
a good trivia question. Do you know the answer to your trivia question?
Yes, I do.
Please don't do that. Do not do that.
Let's lob them a super easy. That way they're having to do something.
He wants to make you work for it. Two tickets to the race this weekend in Charlotte.
What
on the line?
I suggest caller number one. But what is the number?
What is the current number of Matt Kenseth right now? What car does he run?
That's not a trivia question anymore.
Yeah, it is. Okay. What's the most famous number three? Who drove the most famous?
Oh man, you're really reaching.
Well, that's easy. That's what I'm saying. I'm just giving it away without.
Go ahead with your
away.
Matt Kenseth thing.
All right. Who? What number car does Matt Kenseth drive right now?
Wait a minute.
Right.
Do you know what number?
I do. I have it. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right here in front of him. Yeah.
844-477-3776 if you want a pair of tickets to the race in Charlotte this weekend. Call up for Ken's big trivia question. We'll call it.
You like it?
Ken Trivia.
You like it?
Blanken Trivia.
Yep, there you go. I like it, G-Man.
All right, so we're getting calls now. If you want to call in, though, you can try 844-477-3776. And you will be a winner of a pair of tickets to. Lonzo's making faces at me.
I'm not making faces. I'm making faces at the caller.
Okay.
What happened?
It's Bob.
Oh.
Hi, Bob. Hello, Bob. What's your guess?
Well, I mean, the number three is Dale Earnhardt. Can we go with that?
No, we can't. Matt Kenseth's number, Bob. You got it?
17.
No.
That used to be him. It used to run the 17 car. Not anymore. I said
how hard that trivia question is, Lonzo? It's a little harder than you thought.
Dang, Bob, my boy. I'm wondering if he was going to give the tickets to me. It serves him right if he wasn't.
844-477-3776. Looking for the Matt Kenseth's number.
Current number.
All right, we have Jerry.
All right, Jerry. Bail us out, Jerry. What's his number?
20.
That's it.
Yeah,
good job.
You got it.
Number 20.
Jerry, have a good time.
Toyota.
Race.
Joe Gibbs Racing. Or
yes,
Matt
sir.
Kenseth. Thank you, Jerry.
That'll be a fun race, man.
Hang
it
on.
Really
we'll
will.
Get information from you and get you
it's
set up.
It's starting to get real in NASCAR, man. This is the ones
this
that really
is the real
count,
deal, man.
Absolutely.
This
starting
is good
to pare
stuff.
Them down. They'll be running up there wide open, friend. Trust me. I've been up there.
They will. You know where Matt Kenseth is from, by the way?
Latrobe, Wisconsin or something. He's somewhere.
It is Wisconsin.
Yeah. What is it?
Somewhere. Cambridge, Wisconsin.
Cambridge, Wisconsin. Well, yeah. I knew he was. Yeah.
Cambridge.
Yep.
And he is number 20. So congratulations. Jerry, he will.
That's the only pair
you
got?
The race. No, well, more all week. It's the only pair we have today.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to put you in charge of trivia all week.
You got it. All right. I'm
you come up with
I'm
the questions.
Hyped, man. I'm psyched.
But yep. Look up the answers. Make sure you got them right.
I'll know the answers.
All right. Congratulations to Jerry. Another pair of tickets for the race coming up in Charlotte. We'll have them for you tomorrow here on The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. You want to hear the Vin Scully final call of his Dodgers announcing career? It's good stuff from
Absolutely.
Vin. And we'll have that for you when we come back, all right? So stay with us here in The Huddle. It's 3:31. We'll be right back on ESPN Upstate.
From diamonds to gridirons, from rinks to courts, we've got you covered in the huddle.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM.
You're listening to the huddle with Greg McKinney.
KB. Ken Blankenship. And Lonzo.
ESPN Update.
Kickoff for Clemson's game in 2 weeks, the home game with North Carolina State on the 15th, set today as a 12-nooner. Sorry about that. Can't imagine the Clemson fans are loving that one. 12-noon kickoff for North Carolina State at home in 2 weeks. Of course, they play this week on Friday night, 7:30 against Boston College. That one's on the road, and we will have Ingalls College football today on the air, 4:30 Friday afternoon. So we'll get you ready for that game on 93.3 The Planet. Friday night game. Don't love that.
It's a hard rock station, isn't it?
It's a hard rock station.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's a new rock station.
Listen, G-Mac, don't think I'm over here not thinking that I sound like an old man. I know I do. I'm proud of that.
You are.
I'm very proud of that.
Speaking of old men.
Yeah.
Ben Scully's 88 years old.
I know him well.
And he broadcast his last Dodgers game yesterday.
I know of him well.
Yeah, you don't know him personally, I know.
No, I do not.
And here is his call of the final out in that game and his rather quick sign-off after that. Vin Scully didn't want a big to-do to get out of this game. Here's the way the broadcast ended for Scully in his final one for the Dodgers yesterday.
Sergio Diaz slider hit in the air to left center. Coming over is Pagan. He puts it away. And the Giants are the wild card team. The city is going wild, appropriately enough, and they are heading for New York. No runs, one hit for the Dodgers, who managed to leave four men on base because they were the only four they got on base. The Giants in the Western Division are 45-31. The Dodgers are 43-33. So inside the division, they certainly were the better team. That was awfully nice. The umpire just stood up and said goodbye, as I am saying goodbye. Seven runs, 16 hits for the winning Giants, 1-4-1 for the Dodgers. The winner, Matt Moore. The loser, Kenta Maeda. I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
How about that?
Classic.
How about that?
Classic.
The amazing thing about that's an 88-year-old man. He called the game by himself. That's what he was doing.
Always does. Always
by himself. Do you know how hard that is?
Long, long time. Yes, I do.
But if you have the bank of knowledge that Vin Scully has in his brain, you can do that. But just
1960, I think, in Brooklyn.
Just to, you know, keep your voice going for that long.
An amazing man.
More than 3 hours.
A God-fearing man, big time.
Keeping track of the game, telling stories, 67 consecutive years.
True gentleman, big time.
For Ben Scully. If you think back about some of the great iconic announcers and how much younger than Vin Scully they were when they retired, Red Barber mm-hmm. was Scully's mentor.
Yep.
He was 58 when he was fired by the Yankees. 58. Mel Allen was dismissed.
This week in baseball.
By the Yankees when he was 51.
How about that?
Okay.
Mel Allen.
You noticed the first, you said retired by. So these guys didn't retire because they wanted to. Yeah. Yeah, they got let go.
Well, they moved on to incredible careers elsewhere. Mel Allen became this week in baseball, the voice of that.
But do you think they could do what Scully was doing when he's 88 years old? Maybe.
Not likely. Not many people. Amazing what he's done.
Do you think you can do what you're doing at 88?
No, no way.
Have you thought about, as you get older, though, have you thought about how much longer am I going to do this?
All the cardio?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's nowhere close to 88.
All right. I'm just curious.
All the cardio it takes to do the huddle. This is not a regular show now. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of conditioning to do
this.
Yeah,
it's keeping up with you.
You know what? You sit in here and act like this is tough, and then you see Vin Scully do what he did. At 88 years old?
Well, I mean, there's construction guys listening to us right now.
88.
It's tough to run your mouth on the radio.
Yeah, I know.
You guys have no idea.
See, I'm just feeling guilty about whining Saturday about having to do a show myself.
Seriously.
Yeah.
We're out there.
One show by yourself.
Yeah,
listen, some people
are built to do things alone, and some people are built to have people around them.
That's fair, but 88's amazing, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's just amazing.
There's no question.
It's just unbelievable. He had Willie Mays there in the booth with him for a while.
Say hey, kid.
Yeah, Willie Mays, his favorite player. You know, Willie Mays is awesome.
Could be the greatest of all time.
Willie Mays is 85.
You can easily make that argument.
Willie Mays is 3 years younger than Vince Scully.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was up there with him.
Yep.
They stood together before the fourth inning for the unveiling of a plaque for him in the Giants press box. The Giants press box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the way the schedule fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you had two symbols of New York and California baseball up there together.
Oh, yeah.
Just crazy good. And he just was awesome.
So. I mean, how many other times have you ever seen that? I don't know that that's ever happened again. Quite possibly the greatest player to ever play and quite possibly the greatest announcer to play right there together for that moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously.
At that age,
how
too.
How else can you?
That age.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So, great stuff. And he did it in his understated way, which makes Vin Scully who he is. And I love that. Love the
absolute
way he signed
classic
off
classic of all time.
Really good stuff. All right, 844-477-3776. If you want to get in on our final segment, text line 47183. Come back in a moment. You're listening to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate.
Down, set, putt, putt. You're in The Huddle with Greg McKinney.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Now it's time for you to talk back. Call 844-GSP-ESPN.
Text us at 47183.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
This is ESPN Upstate.
Just got the new FCS coaches poll, college football.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota State, of course, still number one. But Chattanooga is number three again this week with their 5-0 record. A couple of South Carolina teams. Charleston Southern is number eight, and Citadel's up a spot from 10 to 9. So that's it for our area teams in the FCS poll. Yesterday was the last game at Turner Field in Atlanta. The first pitch between the Braves and the Tigers was thrown by Julio Teheran at 3:13 p.m. And the Braves, he pitched a gem.
He sure did.
1-0. Win.
Saw some of that.
For the Atlanta Braves. So he struck out 12. That tied his career high. Gave up 3 hits, 1 walk, and no runs. So that was a good finish for the Ted. Of course, the Ted was around for about 20 years. It was next door, built next door to Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. The Braves never won a World Series at the Ted. They did that in 1995 at Fulton County Stadium. And then that thing was imploded on August 2nd, 1997. It's a parking lot now. The Braves announced that they were leaving Turner Field for the new Cobb County Stadium in 2013 is when they made that announcement. John Schuerholz, the club president at the time, said that Turner Field needed hundreds of millions of dollars of upgrades and that the massive investment would not do anything to improve access or the fan experience. So that's why they said they had decided to move. So the city allocated money for another stadium in downtown Atlanta for the Atlanta Falcons. That's Mercedes-Benz Stadium, scheduled to open next year. Ted Turner himself in 2014 showed displeasure with the move to the suburbs out to Cobb County for the Braves. He made the point that the new ballpark isn't even in Atlanta. The Atlanta Business Chronicle quoted Ted Turner as saying, "I never would have done it. Never would have moved it out to the suburbs." They'll vacate Turner Field in December. They've got until December to get out. That's when the contract with the stadium expires, and the new home, SunTrust Park, will open next year. And then they'll start converting Turner Field. And at least they're not tearing it down. I hate it when 20-year-old stadiums are torn down. That just seems like a huge waste to me.
It really does.
You know, it's not that old.
It's cookie cutter, man.
So they're going to convert Turner Field into a football stadium for Georgia State University.
Wow. Must be planning on going big time. Georgia State.
Georgia State. They bought the site from Atlanta Fulton County Recreation Authority for $30 million.
Where's Georgia State get that money?
$30 million is not that much.
Well, it's pretty decently deep pockets, isn't it? $30 million?
Compared to new stadium costs.
I don't have that laying around. I know
got that.
You might, But, I mean, $30 million is $30
million. They hope to be playing football in it next year, 2017.
Is $30 million not Batman money anymore? It's just kind of normal, run-of-the-mill money?
I don't know what Batman money is.
Batman money is big money.
It's a big money.
But yeah, millionaire Bruce Wayne, that whole thing, you know?
The billionaire now, by the way.
Yeah, well, billionaire money. Okay.
Do you realize the Braves won 12 of their last 14 games?
I know, they've been rolling.
Break up the Braves, man.
Break them up. Break them up before they head north.
Yeah, they didn't have real good attendance at Turner Field this year, but yesterday they had a sellout because it was the last game.
Sure. I was there.
51,220.
Not me.
I know. In the pregame ceremony, the Braves introduced the all Turner Field team, including guys like Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Greg Maddux, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones. They all came in from center field to big ovations. Ceremonial first pitches yesterday were thrown by Glavine, Smoltz, and Maddux. Bobby Cox represented the all-Turner Field team as the manager. They unveiled a huge flag for the playing of America the Beautiful. They had military jets do a flyover during the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner. And then fans cheered Julio Teheran as he struck out the side to open the first inning. He said he was feeling a lot of emotions from the crowd. It was special to see the crowd looking for a win because nobody had cared about a Braves game in so long.
Right.
He didn't say that part. But still, Jimmy Carter and Rosalind were in the stands for the last game. And Bobby Cox was the guy who peeled the number one off that left field wall where they were counting down the games. Bobby Cox did that.
Him and him alone.
Revealed a sign for SunTrust Park with the words, opening day, April 14th, 2017. So you feel any emotion for losing Turner Field? It just wasn't around that long to get all that attached to it.
I've been to the TED two or three times, but I more associate with the other because I'm old.
Fulton County?
Yeah, Fulton County. Mm.
That
when
one goes back.
When I lived there, Fulton County was there. And when I used to go there, you know, a little bit as a kid from time to time or as a, you know, teenager / 20-year-old, whatever.
I probably went to 5 or 6 games at the TED over the years. It's been a while.
TED's sweet. It's smooth. You know, it's all that and everything. But it just seemed like a cookie-cutter kind of thing. Not that it was like a whole bunch of other parks or anything, but it was one of those new ones that was built, you know what I'm saying, kind of with a... With a thing. It just seemed kind of a mall.
At least it wasn't one of those big round things like Fulton County Stadium.
All right, here's my picture for that. Here's my analogy for that, okay? I love to at least window shop. I rarely have enough real money to spend on a whole bunch of clothes, but I love to window shop in big cities. You know, no matter where it is, nice urban environment, beautiful, unbelievable retail stores downtown. I cannot stand a freaking mall. I'm sorry. For all you mall rats and all the people that work at the mall and might be listening to, oh, thanks a lot. Well, I mean, people are still going to come.
How is window shopping any different than walking through the mall?
That's the point. The mall is so manufactured. The cities came to be out of necessity, and that was a legit business. Somebody, you know, people needed clothes, blah, blah, blah. But you build the mall, it's everything in one place, and it's, you know.
I know it's a sports show and everything, but
it's fake, man.
Isn't that built in manufacturing and everything you just said, a mall? I'm sorry, I'm lost.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Who can be the goofiest the last 3 minutes of the show?
All right, Greg, you need to take a side. Yeah. Mall or window shopping?
No, G-Mac, come on now.
I don't care. I don't want to shop anywhere.
You got to have some feeling about it.
By the way, guys don't shop, man.
No, I know.
Guys just buy.
I know. But it's about strolling. And listen, I know.
No, it's about trolling.
Listen.
And you're a little too old to be doing that.
I know, but the thing about it is you can do that in the city, and it's not trolling. It's chilling. It's strolling.
Okay, and your point about Turner Field is it's too much like a mall?
Yeah, it's too fake. Malls are fake.
What do you think this new place SunTrust is going to be like?
Well, I mean, that's all well and good. That's fine.
It's going to be a big baseball stadium surrounded by movie theaters and restaurants.
Well, kind of my thing on that.
So, like Jerry World, that's a mall.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's my point. If you're going to do it like a mall, be the biggest, grandest mall of all time.
And it can only be one of those.
But if you're just another mall, no, I don't want no part of you. I want no part. And sometimes I have to go because of the wife, in-laws, whatever, you know. But no, if I got a chance to stroll downtown in a major urban area in a nice section of town where there's a lot of nice stores I can chill and stroll and all that, any day of the week. But the mall, no. No, thank you, honey. I'll find a coffee shop.
Thanks for that.
I just thought I'd let you know, man. Have a great time at the mall today, whoever's listening to us. But I'm glad I ain't got to meet you there.
Now, it's Charlie Strong losing for Texas over the weekend, and the heat on Charlie Strong's been turned up, and he's trying to respond to that. And what he's doing is that he is taking control of the defense himself. He's going to call defensive plays now for Texas. He demoted his longtime defensive coordinator today, Vance Bedford, and took control of the defense. Bedford's not fired. He stays on the staff. He will help coach the secondary. Charlie Strong said, "I know this. I've done it before. I can see where I can help us."
Well, you better help fast.
He's got, basically the rest of the season.
Did a pay cut come with that demotion?
For Bedford?
Yeah.
Not sure.
I wouldn't think so this
probably
year.
Not.
Maybe adjusted
probably not.
Next year or something.
He says Strong says sometimes you feel like you need to bring new energy to some of these guys, and hoping this will be a good move for the team, which it will be. Texas is last in the Big 12 in scoring defense. They're giving up 38 points a game. They gave up 47 in three of their first four games, more than 47. Strong defended Bedford last week after they lost at Cal 50-43, but the Longhorns' defense was not any better this week. They lost 49-31 at Oklahoma State to open conference play. After the loss to Cal, Texas had a bye week. At that time, Strong said he would get more involved with the defense. A week later, he backed Bedford and said he didn't believe staff changes would help. Now he's demoted him. Texas installed four new starters against the Cowboys and still gave up 555 yards.
Mm-hmm.
392 passing yards. So it's basically Charlie Strong's last stand at Texas.
I would agree with that. But I tell you what, that Oklahoma State team with Mason Rudolph from Northwestern is a very good team. I'm telling you, they moved the ball on people and they scored
points. Well, it wasn't just that game. It was the Cal game.
Oh, yeah, they've been giving up a lot of points. No question.
Right.
But Oklahoma State is hard to defend. There's no question.
No, there's no doubt.
Just like he did in high school, he's a wonderful distributor. He doesn't throw the prettiest ball, but he gets the ball there when it should be gotten there. That boy is tough.
He brought Bedford from Louisville with him, Strong did. Mm-hmm. They were there together 2010 to 2013. They also coached together at Florida for 2 years and helped the Gators win a national championship in 2008. Strong was the defensive coordinator. This is the second straight year he's made a coordinator change during the season. Last year, he demoted co-offensive coordinators Sean Watson and Joe Wickline after the first game when they lost 38-3 at Notre Dame. So we'll see if Charlie Strong can do enough, but the word is at Texas that they want in on the Tom Herman sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
And they would like to get Tom Herman because somebody's going to make that run at Tom Herman at the end of this season.
And what will they throw at him money-wise, G-Mac?
Plenty.
Okay, like South Carolina should have.
No, Texas has more money than South Carolina, so they can throw more at him.
Okay,
I'm
not getting into that. But
you brought it up.
If I had to answer what you just said, I'm saying they're, like I said before, they're throwing tens of millions of dollars into facility, upgrades and all that. And
there's only so much you can pay a coach. That's just the way it is.
We'll pay the man if you think he's the real
deal. They will. They will.
Yeah,
Texas or
will.
Somebody will.
And that's why Texas will be better than South Carolina.
Well, and Miami.
What does that got to do with anything?
They're not paying Mark Richt the kind of money you're talking about. Trust me.
He's not Tom Herman either.
Okay. Well, why didn't you go get Tom Herman?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe we tried and we were stubborn like South Carolina.
Thanks for listening to The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Don't forget tonight, we have Monday Night Football. Giants and the Vikings at 7:45. We'll be back here tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. KB Alonzo, I'm Greg McKinney. Thanks for listening. Have a great afternoon. Straight Up with Sturge is next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.